Hello and welcome. It is good to be with you on this wonderful day. It's the day here. It's a beautiful day. It's somewhat warm, so I'm going to be filming in here again. But it is an absolutely wonderful day. God has given us some rain over the past several days that we've desperately needed, and we are thankful for that. And today it's beautiful. It might rain again later on, but we are just so thankful for this time. I hope that you are having a great day, both in terms of your circumstances, but also in your heart and your relationship with the Lord. It's good to be with you. Thank you for joining us. I pray that this time is a blessing for you and your walk and your relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord. Our Lord who loves us so much that he went to the cross, died, and rose again for our sins. The one, in fact, who can permanently, eternally reconcile us to the Father, adopt us as God's children. And when we place our faith and trust in him, he comes to live within us through his Holy Spirit. And we have an eternal relationship with him. And it's he who has given us this time. He's the one who wants to speak with us. It's not so much the desire coming from us to meet with him, but he's actually drawing us to himself. And so let's just take a moment. Let's go to him in prayer and let's turn our heart toward him. Father, thank you for the day that you have given. Lord, the rain that you have provided for us, the beauty of this day. Father, even more so, far more so, the wonderful salvation that you've made possible through your Son. Father, the relationship that we have, oh Lord, with you through him. Father, thank you that you want us to know you. Father, when we come together in these times, we open your word. Father, this isn't like studying a history book or an encyclopedia or a science book, though everything within it is true, factual. But Father, this is actually your living word where you speak to us. And Father, we ask that you enable us to hear from you, Lord, not just with a head knowledge of the facts, but, oh Lord, a heart knowledge of what you're telling us this day, Lord. Father, be with us. Lead us and guide us in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I wonder when you look at the world we live in today, when you look at the affairs of our nation, when you look at the affairs of your own life, I wonder, can you join with the psalmist when he said in Psalm 146, verses 1 through 2, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in..." And we'll stop reading there. I was about to get overexcited and continue reading on because I love this psalm. But now you think about what we see in verses 1 through 2, that wonderful call to praise. I wonder when you read that or when you hear it read, is your response, well, you know I should, I really ought to, but the conditions of the world, the conditions of this nation, the conditions even of my own within my own life make it very difficult for me to do that. But you know, what we need to remember is that the scriptures were written in the backdrop, in the very midst of the affairs of real everyday life, not the absence of it. And when the psalmist here is talking about praising the Lord, it's not because he has some wonderful charmed existence where there are no problems or worries or issues or concern for himself, for the nation, or certainly within the world at large, but it's because he knew the God whom he in fact could praise and trust. And so as we look at the balance of this psalm, we see why we should, in fact, praise and trust the Lord. Even in times like these, even on a day like this, even in circumstances like we find ourselves in, as a nation or as an individual. You think about why we should praise the Lord as we look at this psalm. We see that, first of all, God is able. Very simply, God can handle it. Whatever it is, God can handle it. I remember several years ago, Union Pacific Railroad had as one of their mottos, "We can handle it." For a period of time there, they painted that on the side of all their locomotives, "We can handle it." Now, obviously, there was a limit to what they could do. But you know, with God, there is no limit to what he can do. a very real slogan for God is the fact that God could truly say, I can handle it, because there's nothing that he cannot handle. God has no limit. And we see that in this psalm by a contrast that is shown here. And a contrast that at first might sound harsh, cynical, cutting, almost brutal, but one that is in fact true. You think about what we see in verses 3 and 4, where it says, do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. You know, the writer of this psalm is saying very simply, don't put your faith, your trust, your confidence, and by that he means your ultimate confidence and trust in man, or in man in general, or any particular man, because man is, by his very nature, a sinful, fallen creature. But then the focus here is the fact that there's a limit to what any man can do. No matter how much wealth he has, no matter how many resources he has, no matter what position he holds, there is still a limit to what that man can do. We can think of all kinds of various powerful, influential people, but there is a limit to what their influence and their power, and their money can in fact do. Again, Union Pacific, you know, we can handle it. Well, there's a whole bunch of things they couldn't. Even a very good man with a lot of power, wealth, influence, resources, position, there's a limit to what he can do. And even those who want to help us and have been able to help us in the past, they're limited by time. As time goes by, they in fact get weaker, they retire, they die. The thought that you see there in verse 4, his spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. You know, we probably all know of individuals who throughout the course of our life helped us tremendously. But then the day comes when they're no longer in that position to do so. Or maybe they become incapacitated and can't do it. Or perhaps they've passed away. There is a limit to what man can do. Even a good man, his power is always somewhat limited. And he's always ultimately limited by time. And you might think, well, you know, how depressing that is. Why do we need to talk about that? Well, we need to talk about it because, again, first of all, it's real, so we'll know where to put our faith and our trust. But again, it serves as a contrast. You think about what we see in verse 5 to the very first part of verse 6. How blessed is the one is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Remember, he's just told us, don't put your faith and your hope in man and in princes, in mortal man in whom there's no help. But how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. What a tremendous contrast there. While even the best of men are limited by their resources and certainly by time, we're before a God who's in fact unlimited. He's the one who created everything from nothing. He spoke it into existence. You need to think about it. What problem is there that this God cannot handle? There isn't one. What, you know, can he not do for within the nation? Nothing. Now, it's true. Don't know what he'll do. We pray for revival, for a deliverance, for an awakening. God can do it. There's nothing he cannot do. You think about the circumstances in our own life, the circumstances that you may be facing today, the problem, the issue, the need, the trial, the adversity, the difficulty. There's nothing that he cannot do. And this is why we can praise God, because he is in fact able. Praise is not whistling in the dark, is not trying to pick ourselves up, is not trying to, you know, somehow pump ourselves up and ignore the problem. Praise is in fact on solid ground when it's praising the Lord, because we have a God who is in fact able. But not only is he able, but then notice secondly, God is involved. Look at the latter part of verse 6 going on through verse 9. Who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. God is always at work. Yes, to the fulfillment of his will. And sometimes that means a miraculous solving of the problem or a meeting of the need or a healing. Sometimes it's the strength to endure what he has in fact chosen. But God is always at work. He's always working. You think about what we read in Romans 8:28, which is the theme verse for our Vacation Bible School this, not only this year, but this week. New American Standard, which is, well, kind of, I memorized it in kind of a combination of King James, New American Standard, the children are learning NIV, so it doesn't quite sound the same for me. But you think about what it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. God causes all things to work together. That means that God is always working. This very moment, this very second in your life and in mine, God is at work. In that problem, that issue, that circumstance in your life, God is at that this very moment working on that situation. He's working in the world situation. He's working in our nation. He's working in our life. God is in fact involved. You think about what we see in Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect until the day of Christ Jesus. This very moment, God is in fact working on us. Yes, on the situation, but also on us. I have, and I know we have frequently looked at it because I love the verse, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. No matter what it is, God is at work. And even though we might not understand what he's doing, even though we might not see it, we can praise God because we know he is involved and he is working. But notice the third element when we look at this psalm. God is eternal. Remember, one of the problems that we saw with trusting man is the fact that even a good man, his days are limited. You think about what we see when we're there in Psalm 146. You think about what it says back in verse 4. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Not so with God. Look at verse 10. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. God will always be able. God will always be involved because God is eternal. And understand, and we have a hard time understanding this because of our humanness, because we're living on this side of eternity. And we put everything in the framework of time when we think, talk, write, whatever the case may be. Even, and we're wrong about this, when we come to talking or thinking about God, we need to understand God is eternal. God is not old, and there's a significant difference. Old means that you are subject to time. It takes its toll on you. And you may very well be aware of that. God may have blessed you with many years on this earth, and your eyes are beginning to show it. Your hearing is beginning to show it. Various parts of your body are beginning to show it. Your steadiness on your feet is beginning to show it in some way. We, at least on this side of eternity, are bound by time. Now, our soul is eternal, and the issue is where we're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell, based upon our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, whether we have trusted him for salvation or not. But because we're still living on this side of eternity, we base everything on the physical, on time. God is not subject to time. Yes, he's always existed, but that doesn't mean he's old. It means he's eternal. Because God hasn't developed cataracts. His eyes have not grown weaker. His hearing has not grown weaker. God is not unsteady on his feet. God doesn't need a walker to move around or to be able to move from one place to another. God doesn't need a lift chair. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just trying for us to understand the difference here. This great God, who is in fact able and is in fact involved, is eternal. He is just as able today as he was in Genesis 1, as he will be in the end of the book of the Revelation as you look to eternity to come. He is just as much God now as he was in eternity past as he will be in eternity future. We can praise God because the wonderful, awesome, incredible God that we read about in the Scriptures still is. He's still that way. Hasn't changed a bit. Hasn't diminished a bit. And again, thinking about our problems, our needs, our trials, how do they measure up against this great God? They can't even compare when compared to his greatness and his power and his glory. God is in fact eternal. You know, no wonder the psalmist said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." And again, you may have had a difficult time with that today, but remember this God that you're before. He is able. There's not a problem that you or I will ever have he can't handle. He's involved. He's not just watching you go through the situation. He is with you. And he is eternal. His power, his wisdom, his brilliance will never, ever, ever diminish. What an awesome God we have. No wonder the psalmist praised him. No wonder he calls us to praise him. And so let's go to him in prayer, praise him, and turn our heart toward him in trust. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we praise you for being the incredible God that you are, able, involved, eternal. Father, we praise you. Lord, we look to you. Father, for what's taking place in our world, what's taking place in our nation. Father, within our own lives, O God, we look to you. Father, thank you that we can trust you and rely upon you. And O God, we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it has been good to be with you as we meet with our Lord. And I hope as you go through this day that you will be able to praise him. Because again, we have a God who's able, a God who's involved, and a God who's eternal. And I hope that as you walk with him today, that you have a great day in him.